God works in surprising ways and with some surprising people. Let's talk about it on this edition of Tea Light.
You're listening to Key Life, Practical Principles for Daily Living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as beneficial to you as my pastor's sermon was to me. If you have your Bible, open it to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And if you're new to Key Life, just want to tell you what we're doing. We're studying the Old Testament. We're spending a 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks in each of the books of the Old Testament. I'll give you some handles, some exegetical notes, some major themes, and then I'll become your tour director and lift up some of my favorite passages in those particular books. Now, this is going to take a long time, and if you get bored with it, or I get bored with it, we'll do something else and then come back to it. But I'm committed to getting through the entire Old Testament just simply because this is God's Word and because there's so much that's so good in the Old Testament. So you stay with us. Let me know if it gets old and we'll stop for a while and do something else. But we're going to come back to it because if the Lord tarries and I don't die, because it really is that important. And we're up to 1 and 2 Kings. I think probably I'll finish this week, maybe the middle of the week, and then we'll go on to the next book. Before we study the word, let's go before the throne. It's our practice on Mondays, unless, of course, I forget, and I remembered this time. Father, we're glad for your word. We're glad that you wrote it down. We're glad you wrote it down because sometimes we forget. Because sometimes, Father, we want to go our own ways, and you set the parameters, because we want to dream up our own truths, and you are the truth. And so, Father, we come to you, thanking you for the Scriptures, but not just for that, and not just for the gift of your Son who died on a cross. If you'd never done those things, you're still God, and you created us, and we're your creation and your creatures. And you deserve all of the praise and adoration and worship that we give. Father, you know the people who are listening to the broadcast. There's some really bad stuff that some are going through, and they've told us. Father, you know all of that. You know the sleepless nights and the hard roads that people walk and the loneliness and the guilt and all of that. Father, we're here because you have the word of life and you're sufficient. And so meet us at the point of our needs, whatever they are, as you define those needs. If our tears cause us to see you better, may we continue to weep. If our broken heart causes us to lean on you harder, may it remain broken. Father, we are yours, and we're your servants. You paid for us, but you're also our Father, and we praise you. And now, Father, oversee all of the teaching that goes on this week on Key Life. Forgive the one who teaches his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're doing is just going through 1 and 2 Kings, and I'm lifting up some of the favorite passages that I have in this wonderful book. Actually, both 1 and 2 Kings are one book in the original. We looked at 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, and we talked about Jezebel and her going after Elijah. Then we looked at 1 Kings 19, 9 through 10, and we saw how Elijah ran off and hid and thought he was the only one. Then we looked at 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, and that's God speaking in a small voice. 2 Kings 2 is the story of the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. We saw that God buries his workmen and he goes on with his work. Hallelujah. Now, let's get into some new stuff. I want to make an observation on the prophets, beginning with Elijah. The kings had been unfaithful, and as a result, they no longer were the anointed leaders of the kingdom. The faithful prophets of God had become the anointed leaders. In other words, power and anointing was vested in a very surprising place in some very surprising people. Now, if you know me much, you know that I'm political. You know that I'm conservative. You know that I love to talk about politics. You know that I try my best not to do that on this broadcast, even though my political views are better than yours. That's not what this is about. But I am a political person, and you know the danger of that? I have this feeling that because my man is in office, the world will change, Jesus will come, and everything will be all right. And I have this awesome feeling that if the person I didn't vote for gets in office, then the world will come to a stop, paganism will win, and Jesus will be profaned. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. That's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. In fact, I think sometimes what goes on in Washington or what goes on in the capital of the place where you're listening to this broadcast is not what God is doing. He's just doing a holding action in those places so that the real work of God can go on in other places. If you had lived in the theocracy of the Old Testament, you would have been sure that it was the king who had the power, who controlled what was going on, but that's not what was going on. As a matter of fact, it was happening with the prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Whitfield, and this happens in a lot of areas. Sometimes you look at somebody and say, that's what God is doing, when in fact, he's not doing that at all. That bothers me about the evening news. First, they pick what they think's important, and I'll bet you that almost 99% of the time, what they pick as important isn't what's important at all. On the day when Abraham Lincoln was born in a little log cabin, what do you think the newspapers reported that day? They made no mention of Abraham Lincoln, and maybe that was the most important thing going on right then. Or if you had been a hanger-on in the political courts of Pontius Pilate, you would have said, wow, he's got the power. He's the man. He's got it together. When they brought this little carpenter, he had no form or comeliness that we should look upon him. The prophet Isaiah said he was a nobody. He didn't have any power. He didn't have any money. He didn't have anything except a crown of thorns and a cross. I mean, this was somebody in bad trouble, and you would have gotten a little bit cozy with Pontius Pilate, and you would have looked down your nose, but what was really going on there was not Pontius Pilate judging a Nazarene carpenter. It was a Nazarene carpenter judging Pontius Pilate, and all of history would stand up and make that similar judgment. How many kids do you know named Pilate? It doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen because God was doing something different than what everybody thought he was doing. And that little stable in the middle of nowhere, Bethlehem. Who ever heard of Bethlehem? Man, the things that were really happening were happening some other place. No, they weren't. God was doing something. And that's true here, and I wanted to make mention of it as we go along. Don't assume that because Peter Jennings says it's important that it is. Don't assume that because the conservative news service says it's important that it is, may not be important at all. And then I want to comment on the difference between Elijah and Elisha in 1 and 2 Kings. If you read their stories, and Elijah, as I pointed out, and if you were listening, you know this, Elijah is in 1 Kings, Elisha is in 2 Kings, you'll find that they're two different kinds of prophets. Elijah is very political, very involved in the politics of what's going on. He's strong, he's mean, he's powerful, he's bold, he's God's lightning bolt. Elisha, on the other hand, is the kind of guy you wouldn't mind having for your next-door neighbor. He's soft, he's loving, he's kind, he's God's velvet-covered brick. The situations are different. The servants were different. Under Elijah, the country was divided and angry, and under Elisha, the land was falling apart, and they needed a pastor. What's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on here. A couple of things. First, God knows his people. He knows what we need. He designed circumstances to meet those needs. That's why when this morning, if you woke up the way I did and said, Lord, get me back into this bed today, tonight, so I don't mess it up so bad I can't fix it, you missed it. You should say, Lord, make me sensitive to the circumstances of this day because you know what I need. And you know who I am and you know my heart and I'm yours. You arrange it. You make it happen in the way that I need. Let me tell you something. I believe in discipling. I think it's very important. I think it's important that we mentor young Christians, that we bring them up in the faith, and that we oversee that growth. So nothing I'm going to say ought to be a put down of what I just said. However, I want you to know you don't have to do a lot of discipling because God does the discipling. Because God takes His own and He trains and He gives them what they need and He pours His Spirit into them. I remember a friend of mine saying one time when another friend was saying, I'm so worried about Sarah because she's a new Christian and she's not going to make it. And my friend Judy said, I have noticed as I've walked with Jesus for a long time that God has a particular concern for His new ones. Well, He has a particular concern for His old ones and for nations, and He gives us what we need, not always what we desire. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our spring magazine, you ought to write for it. I wrote an article on why Jesus had to die. There's a wonderful piece by Philip Yancey called Makeover. Question and answer column on grace and regret. My itinerary is there. Lake Barkley information. A lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. All you got to do is ask. We'll send it to you. It's absolutely free. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, but make sure you give us your regular mailing address. And listen, when I say it's free, I honestly mean it's free. But if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. I'm not an economist, but I know if I keep sending out hundreds of thousands of tapes and pieces of literature free and nobody helps me, I'm going to go broke. So for those of you who are called to do it, pray about it and be as generous as you possibly can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching The Word for the Discouraged. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.